Hi, this is Neil Stavem. Thanks for checking out the podcast of Connecting Faith. Programs like this are made possible through the financial support of listeners like you. You can find out more or make a gift by clicking on the Support Faith Radio tab on the homepage. Enjoy the podcast.
Always expect something good on your lunch hour. Connecting Faith with Mike.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Nice to have you along today. We spent a little time today talking a bit about the church. Are America's churches helping people grow? And how do you measure the effectiveness of a church? Is it budget? Is it attendance? Is it church plants? Or are there some other ways to measure spiritual health of the church? We're going to find out about that in a new work. It's a summary of several years of fascinating research, and we're going to hear from one of the researchers, actually a couple of them today, and we'll also spend some time talking about, you know, how do we measure spiritual growth and what are some of the hindrances to progress. And I hope it'll be something that will encourage and challenge you today. We're so glad to have you tuned in on Connecting Faith. Just want to remind you that each day we provide some great programming here on Faith Radio. And if you haven't had an opportunity to listen to Faith Radio Mornings recently, I encourage you to do that. Make a point tomorrow. For example, tomorrow, Ted and Michelle are hoping to connect with Paul Pennington. You've heard Paul perhaps on Family Life Today. Paul is head of Hope for Orphans. And, of course, this Sunday is Orphan Sunday. And Paul is actually in South Korea and going to be checking in from South Korea, if we make the phone connection work anyway. And we'll talk a little bit about Hope for Orphans and great outreach. By the way, you can go to their website just to find out more, hopeforphans.org, and find out a little bit more about Orphan Sunday. It's a wonderful outreach. In fact, there's some things online about 8 steps to launch an orphan ministry in your church. Maybe talk about that with our guests a little bit later, too, in terms of ways that churches grow and people get involved. That's just one of the guests. And Wayne Peterson from HCJB Global will be in studio, and he'll give an update on what's going on with God's Word through mission radio around the world. And get some great stories. As always, looking forward to having Wayne back in studio. That'll be tomorrow at about 7:40. So that's just part of the morning tomorrow on Faith Radio Mornings, and just want to encourage you to check it out and listen in regularly. And you can also listen then each afternoon for Live the Promise, another one of our live updated shows. And today you'll have an opportunity to hear Susie talk with a well-known family counselor, marriage counselor, and writer. Here's a word about what's coming up.
Helping you grow deeper in your faith.
On the next Live the Promise, my guest and I are going to go below the surface to the depths of human interactions. This is Susie Larson. I'll be talking with Les Parrott about his new book, Real Relationships. We'll take a look at the basics of healthy relationships, including friendship, dating, and even relating to God. You're not going to want to miss it. That's 3 to 4 o'clock on the Faith Radio Network.
Get a podcast of today's Live the Promise at faithradionet.com.
All right, let's jump in with today's discussion. And I know you're going to want to just hear our visit today with Callie Parkinson, and we'll be joined a little bit later by Greg Hawkins. Callie is a brand manager for Reveal and previously served as the director of communication services at Willow Creek Community Church. It's a role she undertook following a 25-year career at Allstate Insurance Company, and her and her husband live in Chicago suburbs, a couple of grown children. We'll introduce Greg a little bit later. Greg is executive pastor at Willow Creek Church. He's also a co-author of Reveal, and we should probably back up and talk about Reveal because it was a survey that happened back in, I think, 2004. In fact, we'll maybe just bring Callie in to explain a little bit about it and how this all got started. Callie's a little bit short of voice today, and so hoping she can hang on with us. Callie, thanks for taking some time today. We're looking forward to visiting.
Well, I'm happy to be with you, Neil.
Reveal was a study that is, maybe just give me a little history. I know we've talked before about it, but as I understand, the leadership team at Willow Creek said, you know, are we really doing the right job, or is this just a great place for people to come and experience church? And you decided to actually do a survey, right?
Well, you know, the church, and Greg can talk about this from his role as the executive pastor, but that Willow had done congregational surveys, just as many churches do, you know, now and then to check in on, you know, who was showing up, at the church, where they came from, what they were doing in terms of, you know, their church activities and that kind of thing. And they were about ready to roll out another congregational survey in 2004. And I happened to connect in a surprisingly, you know, divine way with a colleague from my marketplace days who was really an expert at doing a special kind of research that not only looked at or asked people about what they were doing, but it asked people how they were feeling about things. And his work was very well regarded in the marketplace, and he helped us design a little bit of a different survey in 2004. And what our real question was, Neil, you'll appreciate this, I think, is that we were wondering which church activity we were doing that was, which one was helping people grow the most in their relationship with Jesus. Was it their experience with small groups, or was it their experience with our midweek services, or was it their serving experiences? Which thing, which, if, in other words, a church has limited resources, where could we put the resources most effectively to help people grow in their relationship with Christ? And what we found on the back end surprised all of us, everyone, including veteran, you know, church leaders like Greg and even our senior pastor.
Well, we want to talk more about what the survey revealed. In fact, that became the name of it, Reveal, and there was a second one, I think, Follow Me, and it has now been, you've kind of compiled it all together in a book called Move, because it really, you know, before we sort of dive into it, it has grown. You've sort of shared it with other churches, right? So there's been, what, over 250,000 people that have taken this, right?
Actually, now we have 1,500 churches in our database, and over 400,000 people have taken the survey at this point. So we have a lot of data from a lot of different churches, many different sizes, all over the country, and, you know, just a lot of multiple denominations. All the mainline denominations are in there to some extent. So we have a great diversity of input into the database that we have now.
The book is called Move. It's an excellent summary resource. It's out from Zondervan, and Kelly Parkinson and Greg Hawkins have co-written it, just revealing some of the important findings they've found. And, well, let's go back, though, kind of the beginning. Maybe the first question is, can we measure spiritual growth? And maybe, you know, should we even try?
Should we even try? That's right. Well, we define spiritual growth. Like I said, we were kind of just wondering what seemed to be working in the best in our the things we were doing at the church. And the way we looked at that is we kind of just went to the Great Commandment and said, okay, if we're trying to do something to help people grow in their relationship with Christ, it was pretty clear that Christ wants us to help people grow in their love of God and their love of others. So we had those kind of questions in there. And that's how we defined spiritual growth. So that's part of your question is how we did it. How would we look at spiritual growth? And in measuring it, what were we trying to look at to see what was advancing those things? But your other part is, should we measure spiritual growth? And I think it's a really good question. And from my my 5 years within Willow Creek Church, what I know to be true, and it was true of me, in my role, is that we're making decisions as leaders all the time based on something, and it could be based on anecdotes that we hear after services. It could be based on things like attendance factors, how many volunteers you have. It could be based on, you know, where you're getting your resources. It could be based on conversions. Pastors are making decisions based on some sort of information all of the time. What we were trying to do with this tool was to give put a different lens on it, less a lens on those kind of like activities of attendance and, you know, volunteering and that type of stuff, and more a lens on the heart of people and more a lens on their attitudes to see what we could find out.
Well, I know, you know, I think we can sometimes sort of just hide behind the thought that, well, it's all up to God anyway. It's, you know, God's Spirit that does the work, and we know that, but that doesn't mean we shouldn't be effective, I guess, right?
Well, and, you know, here's exactly, because the church, I talk to pastors all the time who've taken the survey, and every one of them, all of them love their people, want them to help them grow into disciples of Christ. But really, the mental model that's been around for years is that if I get people to attend my weekend services, get into small groups, if I get them into serving experiences and into Bible classes, they will grow into disciples of Christ. That's what I've been trying to do. And at the end of the day, what we found was that while church activities are important, they aren't as important at every stage of the spiritual journey, if you will, as other things are.
Well, in fact, let's jump in with that, because that's kind of one of the primary discoveries is, and I'll just put it in a question. Does church activity equal spiritual growth?
Church activity, what we say is it doesn't predict long-term spiritual growth. What we find is that early in the journey, when people are first just exploring who Christ is, maybe they're new believers, church activities are a safe haven and a rock for people who are just getting their act together, sort of, in terms of getting started on a journey with Jesus. But later in the journey, church activities are still important, but become less catalytic, if you will, than other kinds of activities.
We're going to spend a little more time talking about that in a few minutes, but maybe we should just talk about, there are some stages that you've identified, sort of four general stages of the continuum. So let's maybe just set that framework up.
Sure. I love this. I love talking about this because this is the voice of these 400,000 people. Who are these people? And I guarantee you, because we've done 1,500 churches, at least in those churches, that every pastor every Sunday is looking into the eyes of people who are at those in these four different stages of spiritual development. And let me describe them really briefly. But the first stage is what we call exploring Christ. And that is a little bit misleading because it implies that all those people are really, seeking truth. They're really out there trying to kick the tires on Jesus to see if he is who he says he was, so they can believe in him and move on. And that's true. But there are an awful lot of people who fall into this category, Neil, of exploring Christ, who have been exploring Christ, in other words, not making a decision to make Jesus our Savior, for years, for decades, even a lifetime. We see lots of churches with lots of people who fall into this exploring Christ segment who have been attending church forever and have yet to make a decision for him. So that exploring Christ group is a really interesting and challenging one. That's about 10% of our sample. About 40% on average of church attenders, if you will, are in the second segment, though, which is the growing in Christ group. And these are kind of like new believers, people who are just there. These are happy churchgoers. They love getting involved in all these church activities. In fact, I think they're a lot like my metaphor for them is a high school adolescent. Because what they do is they are really excited. Like in high school, we were all into our football games and our proms and our debate clubs, and we were that self-contained high school community gave us confidence in ourselves. But when you walked out of the high school, you were still an adolescent. You still were kind of awkward and not ready to make life decisions, really, even if we thought we might be able to make a few. And that's a lot like these growing in Christ people. They're very confident in their faith when they're in the church and involved in church activities, but outside of the church, they're awkward. They aren't confident. They don't really have those roots deeply down yet. But then the next stage, we call it close to Christ, is a group of people who literally, when they drive off the church campus, Jesus is in the passenger seat with them. I mean, Jesus is in their life every day. They're talking to him. They're praying. They're looking to the Word to guide their decisions. And Jesus is integrated into their lives. But so are many other things. They are still in the driver's seat, and Jesus is in the passenger seat. They are active churchgoers, very strong church support people, and and their faith is very important to them. But it's not the only thing that's really important to them. It is that last stage that we call the Christ-centered stage that I think was captured pretty well in Carrie Underwood's popular song a few years ago when she said, "Jesus, take the wheel. You know, I give up. You're in charge. I'm following you." So those are the four stages: exploring Christ, growing in Christ. Those are those happy churchgoers, close to Christ. You know, strong influence. Faith is strong to them, but there are still a lot of other things influencing their lives. And then the Christ-centered group,
and
who have given everything to Jesus.
And give me some percentages of the last two. Say close to. You said on average about.
Basically, they're the same size, about 25%. So
okay.
It goes 10, for explorers, 40% for growing, 25% close to Christ, 25% Christ-centered.
Okay. We're going to take just a short little break and come back and talk more with Kelly Parkinson. We're talking about the results of a ongoing study that's now been taken by over 1,500 churches. Over 400,000 members have been involved in this the Reveal study, and they put the findings in a new book called Move. And we'll talk more about it and be joined by Greg Hawkins, one of the co-authors of the new book as well. And part of the study, he's also executive pastor at Willow Creek. So we'll get some perspective, church perspective. We're going to come back. We're going to talk a little bit about, you know, some of those that are stuck and how to get unstuck. Because you might find yourself in one of those categories, as we've just talked today. You can sort of place yourself in that spot. And we'll talk about moving forward. How do we continue on that journey? And we'll get to that discussion in just a moment here on Connecting Faith.
We're all familiar with people who have high IQs but no common sense. The Bible says, if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives generously to all, and it will be given to him. It's important to understand that wisdom is not knowledge or intelligence. The wisdom being talked about here is the ability to apply knowledge and intelligence to make decisions in the best way possible. It's understanding how God would make the same decision if he were in my situation. We face lots of dilemmas where we don't have the wisdom that we would like to have. But all we need to do is ask God. Imagine what a difference it would make in all of our lives if we would always ask for wisdom and then act as God would in our situation.
This has been a Faith Minute, a ministry of Leif Anderson and Wooddale Church. Learn more on our website, faithminute.fm.
It's 21 past the hour, and you are listening to Connecting Faith. I'm Neil Stavem. Thanks so much for tuning in. My guest at the moment on the phone is Kelly Parkinson. We're going to be joined by Greg Hawkins in a little bit as well. Kelly is part of the, she is the brand manager for Reveal, and that is the, I guess, is that just what we call the name of the survey tool or instrument? Is that the best way to do it?
Reveal is, that's the way pastors refer to it, and many people do it. The name of the survey is actually the Spiritual Life Survey. That's what people see when they take it, but it's known as the Reveal.
Okay. And it's been now in over 1,500 churches, and 400,000 churchgoers have participated and given some great results and information. And the bottom line is we're asking the question, are we making a difference as a church? And I know we have today people that are on pastoral staff that are listening, and those that are serving in church boards, and those that are just interested and maybe found one of their place in one of those categories we talked about on that continuum. And I guess I want to talk about Kelly because, you know, not everybody progresses at the same rate. Some get stuck, and I know that you address that as well, that there is a portion that are either stuck or dissatisfied. Talk about that.
Well, the stall, there's a lot of, in fact, virtually everyone who has taken the survey, when we ask if they've ever stalled in their spiritual journey, they say they have. 95% of them say there's been some instance when I just lost traction in terms of my spiritual life. And there are a number of factors. In fact, that's about 15% of the population of most churches are a group of people who are stalled. Now, what does that mean? We know a lot about these stalled people. and I think the sort of common sense would tell you that some people would stall out when some horrible life circumstance happens to them. You know, that they lost a job, went through a divorce, you know, had something really shook them up, and they may not have the roots of faith down deep enough to help them get through it, and they just stall out. And that's kind of a classic stalled profile. But actually, you know what, Neil? We find about half of these stalled people actually are just like busy. They're just busy. It's kind of like driving in rush hour in Chicago. If you've ever done that, you wonder why we call it rush, because we aren't going anywhere. We're just stuck. we can't get any traction, we can't get to where we're going. And these people feel like that. They're just overwhelmed with obligations in life, and they can't get their head above water, and they just sort of are busy and stall out, and they don't make their spiritual lives the kind of priority that they even want them to,
So then I guess the question is probably from a ministry side of things. Certainly the pastor recognizes that. There's a percentage that are, you know, and they could be, you know, young believers or longtime believers, but they're in that stall mode. So what's the, is there a catalyst to break them out of that?
Yes, there is. Well, and all of them, when we ask the people who were stalled, who are now unstalled, excuse me, what it took to unstall them, they say they got back into their personal spiritual practices. So, I'm going to lose my voice at this point, I think.
We'll give you a chance to grab a drink of water, I guess, and to come back. But so,
Now let me try again.
Sure. Okay. So they're getting back into spiritual practices.
And really, here's really the bottom line is what we find out of all the hundreds of things we've measured that is the most powerful catalyst of spiritual growth of all is reflection on Scripture. And that's looking to Scripture for meaning in my life is what that is. It's head and shoulders above anything else. Hmm. So if people, it's kind of like a human relationship. When a human relationship goes on the rocks, often it's because communication has gone on the rocks. And that's exactly what happens here. When people lose their personal connect with God and are not in His Word, thinking about what it means to them every day, that is an anchor that just doesn't help them stay grounded. If they lose that, if that anchor, if they go adrift, that's the anchor they need to reconnect with.
You know, I would think there's probably, you know, many churches that would say, and probably their own experience, say, well, sure, our church is focused on God's Word. It's preached every Sunday. But that's not, that alone, I guess, just saying that doesn't necessarily make it so in all the programs or the activities of the church.
The bottom line is, are your people doing it outside of church? Are they doing, is it part of their lives? We find churches where fewer than 5% are reading the Bible, reflecting on Scripture outside of church services. The highest we see is about 40%. And yet, what we see when we look at catalytic factors, it's the most powerful factor of all to keep people not only engaged in their spiritual journey, but catalytically moving forward in their spiritual life.
I know we're kind of on borrowed time here with your voice, and I do appreciate you making time to do it. Let me just ask you one more question. We got a break coming up here in the half hour, and Greg will join us then. But Kelly, I'm interested, as maybe from a pastoral team standpoint, is that how do you motivate us to want to grow? I mean, we have to want to first. I guess we can't sort of just be pushed into it, can we? Or is there something about a push?
There is something true about all of us, and that is we want to grow in this relationship across the board. You know, across the board, when we ask people what they want from their church, they want help developing a relationship with Christ. And if there's a second thing they want challenge to do that and next steps. If there's anything you could take away from that or from this conversation, it's that people want to be challenged to grow. So you shouldn't apologize, and Greg can talk about this really well.
Well, we will let him do just that, and you can rest your voice. I do appreciate you taking some time to chat with us. Callie Parkinson, along with Greg Hawkins, are Willow Creek Church leaders that have pioneered this new research, or it's been going now since 2004, the REVEAL study. It has now been taken by over 1,500 churches participated across the gamut, across the country. Over 400,000 church members have taken this survey and given us some good documentation, understanding about the kind of the effectiveness of the church, which is the things that we really want to know. Are America's churches simply going through the motions of ministry? Or are they actually changing lives? And what does that look like? And we're going to invite you to join the conversation as well with us. Greg will join us here in just a few minutes. Greg is executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. Kelly Parkinson heads up Reveal, leads the research study team there, and served previously as director of communication services at Willow Creek Community Church. And she and Greg have co-authored their findings in the new book called Move, and it is available from Zondervan, a book called Move. We'll talk a little bit more about it and take your calls as well at 877-93-FAITH. You may be in one of the categories, things that we've talked about, or maybe just your role in church as in a leadership position. Say, how can I be a part of making sure that there is some spiritual vitality happening? What does that look like? We'd love to have you join the conversation at 877-933-2484. Or maybe you have been one of the people that have taken the survey and be interested just to get your perspective on. I know several churches have taken it once or twice or maybe three times, and so have gone to look at the results and measured from year to year. We'll talk about it more in a couple of minutes. Stay tuned to Connecting Faith, 877-933-2484. Thanks for tuning in to Connecting Faith. Appreciate your company. I'm Neil Stavem, and we spend some time over the noon hour each day just talking about a variety of issues and focus on how we can connect faith to life every day. And that's kind of at the heart of some questions that churches have been asking. Say, how do we measure effectiveness? You know, is it budget, attendance, other things? Well, we have with us on the line Greg Hawkins joining in with us, executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. Ian Kelly Parkinson co-created the Reveal study, and Greg is Callie's kind of warmed us up a little bit. Greg, she's a little short of voice, so she may hang around in the background just to correct you if you need it. But I'm sure that
that's good.
That won't necessarily happen. Greg, I'm interested in I guess from your perspective on this as a church leader, if maybe things were startling or surprising to you, maybe, I don't know, disappointing, or just what are some of your initial thoughts when the first surveys were done and then kind of as they progressed?
Yeah, I think it was startling at first because, you know, I've been doing church leadership for a while, and you have a point of view about what works. And what I mean by what works is what really helps people grow spiritually, grow closer to Christ, come to know Him. And it just didn't seem to make sense that all these things we were doing and we were doing with excellence didn't seem to be making as much difference in people's lives as we thought. And that's disappointing. And the other thought about that was maybe that's just why ministry is so hard. Maybe you have to do all this work just to see a little bit of improvement. And so that was the thought, like, wow, you know, this explains why, you know, these years of doing this have been so tiresome. But then we got to a point where we had new insight, which showed us that maybe there was another way to think about it.
You know, as we've gone through some of these stages from exploring Christ to growing in Christ to close to Christ and Christ-centered, I know that just kind of looking through some of the past data that, you know, this growth, it doesn't all happen in church, does it? And
right.
is that an issue maybe for many pastors and church leaders to know that, you know, this it's not all up to me and,
yeah.
and my church?
Yeah, and that's both comforting and disconcerting at the same time, because it's comforting because then you don't feel like it's all about me. And but at the same time, I think we have oriented ourselves to feel like we're so important to someone's spiritual life, those of us who lead or preach and those sorts of things. So, but once you switch your mental model and go, wait a minute, I have a very important role to play, and a big part of my role is to challenge and to equip people in their time with God outside of the church setting. So it just it takes you a while to reframe it, but once you reframe it, you have plenty of work to do to help people and to encourage them and to inspire them.
But can churches afford to equip members to serve outside the walls of the church? I mean, that's, you know, isn't that sort of counterproductive?
Oh, no, not at all. Because, again, you have to understand what is the function of the church. What we're trying to do is grow people up into the fullness of Christ. We want to produce disciples. And I fundamentally believe God gives each of us a purpose and a gifting to make all kinds of good things happen in the world through him. And it's really narrow-minded for us in church leadership to think all of that's going to happen within the context of our local church ministry, because there's needs all in our community, in neighborhoods, in our cities. And so what we've seen in best practice churches is that they don't need to worry about getting the needs met for volunteers for their ongoing ministries. If they motivate and encourage people to discover who God made them to be, deploy that in the community or through a ministry of their church, that grows their heart for Christ. Their capacity to love and serve grows along with that. And then they have motivation and encouragement to continue to serve in the local church. It doesn't move them outside of the local church. They still, if we've done it right, the local church still becomes the hub and the integral community for them, the safe place to be with other believers. It's just a different way of viewing it, though.
You know, we talked earlier about, one of the things that early on you discovered is that church activity does not necessarily equal spiritual growth.
Yeah.
But there is something to be said for, I know you talk a little bit about it in the study and the findings, that to sort of get on board, to get out into some sort of service, something kind of outside yourself, that is a catalyst, though, isn't it?
Oh, it's a very important catalyst, and I think it's a migration. That journey from exploring all the way to Christ-centered is a movement toward surrender, and it's a movement toward realizing, as Rick Warren said in Purpose Driven Life, it's not about you. I mean, this is not about me. This is about me laying down my life and serving others and in love for Christ. So the work of serving someone in need has all of these very virtuous things attached to it, because I have to be selfless to serve somebody. I have to go outside of my comfort. And that starts modeling Christ-like behavior. I start experiencing Christ equipping me to do that and realizing I was actually made to do that. And so we've seen that be a very significant catalyst for people. And moving further and further out in what some would consider riskier types of serving, where you really are encountering real need, and those moments when if God's not here for me, I'm not sure how this is going to happen. And then when you see that God is faithful, it really solidifies your faith. It's a catalyst to do more. And serving is such an important thing, and the movement towards serving outside of comfort zone, really directly interacting with those in need, is very important.
And is it important at maybe an earlier or a later stage, or can you jump stages?
Oh, well, the stages are not necessarily defined by time. You can move toward an incredible level of surrender, but most of the people we've talked to with that who would say, I moved from exploring to surrender Christ-centered within, 6 months, it's like, I could believe that. I'm not – that certainly could happen. But what you start understanding is there's still areas in their life that aren't surrendered yet. They still are retaining quite a bit of control over those areas of their life. Certain big things they've given up control and have surrendered to Christ's leadership, but not everything. But serving in general is catalytic at any stage. And we just have seen this pattern, though, that a lot of people early on – they're just trying to understand what spiritual gifts are or what it means to serve other people. And so giving them an introductory experience that's positive is good early on. And you want to migrate that, though, to more challenging, I don't want to say riskier, that's probably the wrong word, but more, as we think about it, more direct contact with those in need, that the outcome is not, predictive, versus handing out bulletins or programs as people walk into the worship center. Okay, that's an important thing, but it's a little bit different than I'm interacting and praying with someone at our food pantry who wasn't sure how they were going to feed their family, and their life is very complex. And so do I risk entering into that world and praying for them and getting involved in that life? But all of it's helpful.
Callie touched on it just a little bit earlier, but I guess I'd like you to maybe just add more to it. The most important practice, getting back into spiritual practice, it had to do with reflection on Scripture, and you mentioned prayer. I mean, those two are really we can't get away from that as really central, right?
No. I mean, the thing that's just so incredibly clear, and I'm sure Callie mentioned this, is getting people engaged in the Bible wherever they are in their journey is essential. And I mean, I can say that as, you know, our follower of Christ and a Bible believer, and you can do all that. When you see the empirical research that comes out of now hearing from over 400,000 people, it just screams out of the pages of information that activity, and it's not just reading it or even memorizing it, it's total engagement where it's reading, studying, memorizing, listening to, sitting under teaching of, but it's what you're doing personally to bring God's word alive inside of you. And any activity, I mean, if I just said, what's the one thing, if anybody asked me, that would help me grow spiritually, I would go straight to talking about their engagement with the Bible at whatever level they're at, to encourage them to take the next step for a deeper engagement, whatever that next step might look like for them. Okay. It's just powerful.
Greg, I'm interested, is age a factor, or gender, or geographic location? I mean, did you find some things now that you've done this, you know, 1,500 churches across the country? I mean, are there some patterns that have developed?
None around age, none around gender, none around geography. I mean, we've seen, and that's the thing that's so powerful to me, is you can see the same patterns in Australia and in Germany, you know, in other countries that we've done this research. The same thing is true, which just tells me there is one God, one Spirit, one Lord. I mean, it really is faith building. You know, for us sitting and looking at this information, it's not, and see, this is a powerful thing, it's not so much determined by what church you attend, because we see people who are growing spiritually in churches that those individuals would self-describe as not really effective churches. And we see them growing in churches that are very effective. And so what's very humbling for a church leader is that we definitely can influence people's growth and we can move it forward, but people will grow in spite of us if they have their own personal walk with Christ deepen, and that comes through their Bible engagement and their prayer life and their serving others. They don't have to serve others through the church to have it be catalytic to their spiritual growth. They can serve the neighbor across the street or in their community. And so what's powerful for me is to see that God will work in spite of us in leadership of a church. But if we could align ourselves to what we've been shown through this work to get around, you know, it's the whole Blackaby idea of, you know, sense where God is working in the world and join him there. If we can more align ourselves to what really seems to be catalyzing people's growth, then that can just be this exponentially transformative thing for people.
We're going to talk some more about another aspect of transformation that happens. It has to do with leadership. There's a top 5% most effective churches, and there's some interesting results from that part of the Reveal study as well. We'll get to that in just a minute, talking with Greg Hawkins, executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, co-author of the Reveal studies. And he and Callie Parkinson have put the findings in a new book out just out from Zondervan called Move. And we'll tell you more about it in just a moment. Stay tuned.
With a Love Language Minute, I'm Dr. Gary Chapman. Do you listen when your spouse is talking? There is an ancient Hebrew proverb that says, "He who answers before listening, that is his folly and his shame." So many times, we are reloading our guns while our spouse is talking. We can't wait until they finish so we can make our points. Are you trying to win an argument or build a marriage? You will never have a healthy marriage until you learn to listen. Listening means that you ask questions to make sure you heard them correctly. What I hear you saying is that you wish we could get a weekend away this month. Am I hearing you correctly? Well, it doesn't have to be this month, but yes, I'd really like for us to get away. Now you're learning to listen. It's essential to healthy communication. I'm Dr. Gary Chapman. Visit me at 5lovelanguages.com.
It's quarter to one, and my guest is Greg Hawkins. We talked earlier with Callie Parkinson. Callie and Greg are on leadership team at Willow Creek. Greg is executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church. He's co-author of co-creator of Reveal. It's the initiative that utilizes research tools and discoveries to help churches better understand and foster spiritual growth in their congregation. And we're talking about the findings in their new book, Move. And Greg, I know just one of the quotes from the book. It says, when the church incessantly promotes all the things people should do, it's very easy for them to lose sight of the real goal, which is who they should become. And I know that a part of becoming all that God had in mind for us to be has to do with discipleship, and that's kind of one of the key factors, isn't it, with some of those that are doing particularly well?
Yeah, when we study churches now, you know, thousands of churches that we've looked at and pull out the best practices, one of the things that's very common in some of these most spiritually vital congregations is the senior leaders there make it really clear to everybody in the church what the goal is. And the goal is not participation in the church. The goal is not being a better church member. The goal is being a disciple, someone who follows Jesus with her whole heart, mind, soul, and strength, you know, that who moves toward deeper and deeper levels of intimacy and love with Christ, and who sees their life as not dear unto themselves, but they live to serve Christ. And I mean that not in even a legalistic way, but it truly is a heart generative thing. And so those churches, those congregations we've studied and spent a lot of time with, they make that crystal clear that that's what we're about. And it's a journey, and we have a role in this community as a church to help you in that. But you have a role in that too. And a lot of it's, you know, in your hands, not just in our hands.
I was noticing, just looking through the information, it wasn't, you couldn't sort of pinpoint, I mean, there were patterns, I guess, but it wasn't, there were a variety of different ways that churches and pastors and leadership ministry leaders went about that to pursue.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so it wasn't a one-size-fits-all.
No, it's not like, you know, we were looking for that. We were saying maybe there's one way churches do this, that one way they talk about spiritual growth or discipleship, or one way they orient new church members so that that's particularly effective. We didn't see one path. What we did see, though, was they clearly defined the objective, which was just becoming a disciple. They clearly equipped them with some key skills and information around core beliefs, core practices, equipped them with how to get connected within their own church and to create community, some core tools. And then they said, okay, now this is about a journey. This is about a journey of you taking steps and next steps, and each person's next steps are unique. But our job is to encourage you along the way, equip you along the way. Our job is not to provide every next step for you, because it's your journey and it's going to look a little different. But it has a destination and it has a beginning, and it is a lifelong venture you're on. But they're really clear about that. And a lot of churches, people come and they're not even sure why they're coming. You know, is something supposed to miraculously happen to me while I'm in this service today? The idea of a spiritual journey and a destination and a path and your responsibility to take steps is not a commonly understood idea in churches. And so these best practice churches make that idea known, and that seems to be a very important activity that they do that differentiates themselves and their church's effectiveness.
Is there a point where people are most vulnerable? Is it in the exploring stage where they kind of either decide to get all in or not at all?
You know, there are the first two stages in our that we've discussed or looked at in the research. People seem to be most vulnerable, and it's when they haven't brought the faith in real deeply. You know, it's the parable of the sower and the seed, and what you find is, what we call in our research, people stall out. And a lot of times it's once they've made the decision for Christ and are new to that relationship, if we don't ground those people early on in some core beliefs of the faith and some core practices, if we don't help them understand that this relationship needs to be fostered, there's some things that we want to help you understand, but there's practices you need to engage in around prayer and your own Bible reading and engagement. And the research has shown us those who could get grounded early on in certain core beliefs and practices were far less likely to stall out in their faith. And they self-assess this. You know, we talk about, in the research, we've asked people, have there been times in your spiritual life where you have stalled spiritually? And that's the phrase that seems to make most sense to people. Almost everyone said, yes, there's been times. Then we've dug underneath that and said, what was going on in your life, or and what got you unstalled or unstuck, if you will? And the number one thing that got them unstuck is I reengaged in personal spiritual practices. I took the initiative myself. And what's interesting is a lot of times that was not catalyzed by anything the church did to reengage them. It's just that they got to a place of saying, it's time for me to do something different.
The more we can encourage them to be a part of what God's doing, to just continue to nudge and prompt, is a good thing, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely.
Greg, I'm interested to know, as executive pastor of Willow Creek Community Church, what are some of the changes and results you've seen, and then maybe some of the things that you've done? Give us an example, maybe at Willow. What's changed for you?
Well, I think lots of things have changed for us. I mean, one of the things was that we just got the clarity that we were taking too much responsibility for providing all the next steps for someone's spiritual growth, and we had kind of trained the congregation to expect that we were going to come up with the next new great program or speaker or event or small group for them to be a part of. And we created this dependency on our activities. And the first thing we had to do was get clear in our own head that that is not healthy, and that we had to change our communication to the congregation starting at least over 5 years ago to say, now, this is a journey. We have a role. You have a role. And we've taken too much of this on ourselves and not equipped you or challenged you for your own part in this. And the biggest emphasis we've placed on is in Bible engagement, and put a big emphasis in, I mean, we'd always taught out of the Bible, preached the Bible, believe in the Bible, encourage people to study. But when we have the clarity in this research that that activity is so much more powerful than we ever even thought in a person's life, then we had a big emphasis on Bible engagement and taught about that on the weekend and gave people ideas of how to engage that. And our own Bible engagement in our congregation has increased dramatically. And we've seen a lot of fruit. We've baptized more people in the last few years than any time in the history of the church. And that's just not a function of more attendance, although attendance is up. But you see a new level of spiritual fervor, I think, and hunger for engagement with the Word that, again, was very present in everything, but it just went up another notch. And we just had to, let the congregation own more of their spiritual life. We completely restructured how we did our weekend services, and had a lot of learning about what people wanted from preaching. It was a very fascinating line of research we did around that, and have changed a lot of that. Is that getting at some of the things you were looking at?
Yeah. And I know that even you personally, right, had to kind of come to that point, say, if I'm really serious about this, I have to be all in as well, right?
Oh, my gosh, yeah. I mean, that's one of the most – I mean, for me personally – I mean, I certainly hope and believe that this work will help lots of people. What it's done in my own life is unbelievable, because I've been a follower of Christ as long as I can remember, and a church attender, and I mean, loving God, and thought I was a disciple, thought I was all in. And then when I'm interacting with some of the leaders of these churches who are leading some fantastically spiritually catalytic churches, I realize their singular focus on becoming a disciple themselves was so attractive and challenging to me. I just created a whole long list of things in my life that I still had to work on. And for me, my own personal Bible engagement has skyrocketed. I mean, I always had a discipline to read. My wife and I have been doing a memorization program that she does through Beth Moore, and does a lot of Beth Moore stuff. So we've been memorizing scripture together. I've just reread through the Bible. They have the Zondervan has a 90-day Bible, and my wife and I both have gone through that once. We're going through it a second time. It might sound silly, but it's just I can't. And I can sound any way at once. I can't get enough. I mean, now I understand that this is a journey toward intimacy with Christ, and it's much more personal and intimate than I'd ever imagined. And these are the words of God, and that I interact with them at a whole nother level of understanding. And it's just been a powerful change in my own life. And so for me, I've had personal validation that this research we've done works. I mean, that sounds silly and everything, I know, but it just, again, both personally and then professionally as a pastor and as a leader in a church, I think I'm making better decisions because I have better information about what really helps people at different stages of their journey, and I think we're aligning our church around that. Well, I know we are, as best we know how.
Well, and Greg, let me just jump in. We got a couple minutes left. I'm wondering,
sure,
there may be a pastor or maybe a board member, just someone who might be struggling, saying, you know, things aren't really happening for me or my church like I'd like. What's your encouragement to them today, right now?
Well, the thing that's very clear is that ministry is very, very hard, and you spend your time, and you have limited resources, you have limited funds, and you have this transcendent purpose. And sometimes the gap between all the work that needs to be done and the resources you have is overwhelming. What this work's done for me, and I think it brings hope to all pastors, is that there is a better way of thinking about how to allocate those resources and make decisions to help people in your church. And it can make you more to make better quality decisions and to take the scarce resources you have and put them against the things that really, really make a difference. And I've seen that in our church. We've seen it in hundreds of churches who've taken this work and put it into practice. And so I would just say that there is a better way. And there's a way to and that way also is consistent with you growing closer and more intimate with Christ. So they're not in competition. It doesn't require you working harder or more hours or raising more money even. That's what we have found through the work, is that I am more hope-filled for the next 20 years of my ministry than I was for my last 20 years. I am more engaged and excited about ministry and my own walk with Christ than I've ever been. And so there is hope. And that's, I mean, it's become real clear to me that that's the message. And we just invite all the, you know, pastors and church leaders and lay leaders to really pick up a copy of the book and to ingest it and discuss it and figure out, you know, whether it rings true. And it's not stuff we made up. It's based off of talking to hundreds of thousands of real people who attend churches all across this country. And we're in some way stewarding their voice. And this is what they're saying to us. We have found, and I have found, that it's been a very powerful thing.
Is it revealnow.com? Is that a good website? Okay.
Yeah, and then the Move is available, you know, sure, through Amazon or other outlets.
Sure. The book is called Move. The subtitle is What 1,000 Churches Reveal About Spiritual Growth. Of course, now it's 1,500, and 400,000 folks have taken it. Kelly Parkinson and Greg Hawkins, both in leadership with Willow Creek Community Church. Greg's executive pastor there. Kelly is brand manager for Reveal. It's the survey material we'll be talking about. The book is called Move from Zondervan, and I encourage you to check it out, or you can go to the website revealnow.com and find some encouragement, some challenge, and maybe some help along the way as we continue to grow in our spiritual walk. Greg and Callie, thanks so much for joining us today. Looking forward to chatting down the road.
Thank you.